Hey, good morning. A long time ago, I worked for an electronics company, and there was a guy there that always tried real hard to look, act, and speak like a real cowboy. Of course, he's an electronics technician, so, kind of a nerd. He'd grown up in the city. He's working as an electronics technician, really about as far from being a real cowboy as one can get. He's the kind of guy that real cowboys describe as being all hat and no cows. On the back window of his little pickup truck was a large decal that said "Redneck" in big bold letters. And he had a bumper sticker that said "Cowboy Up." And we don't even want to talk about what he had hanging down from his bumper hitch. All the world, with his cowboy hat, his decals, and his bumper stickers, he was declaring himself a real redneck cowboy. But to anyone who knew him, these sad attempts were a little bit humorous. I asked him something like this once, what does it really say about you if you have to wear a t-shirt and have a window decal on your truck so that people will know that you are a real redneck cowboy? I was reminded of this fellow the other day when I was looking around in a religious bookstore that also sells gifts and t-shirts, jewelry, and other Christian knickknacks. When I saw in the jewelry section that there were many different types of cross or fish necklace bracelets and earrings for both men and women, and in the t-shirt section I also saw that there were many different t-shirts depicting some scripture references, or Christ, or a cross, or a fish, or some other so-called Christian logo, I thought to myself, if I would have to wear a necklace or a t-shirt for people to know that I'm a Christian, then what would that say about my faith and about the way I live? It's not that there is anything inherently wrong with wearing such things like that, but shouldn't people be able to see Christ in me? Even if I'm wearing no jewelry and just have some plain old jeans and a plain old white t-shirt. Our faith must be plain for all to see, without having to wear an overtly Christian clothing or jewelry. This is part of our Christian profession. My friends, let us not have an all hat and no cows attitude, or a all cross and no Christ religion. There are a few Bible passages that we could consider that describe how those in the world will know that you are a Christian without ever needing you to wear a cross sticker or a cross necklace or have a bumper sticker that says "Got Christ" on the back of your car or whatever. People will know we are Christians, first of all, by our love in John 13, 34, and 35. At the Last Supper to his disciples, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Let's take a moment there. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you." Why is that a new commandment? To love one another. In the book of Leviticus and other places, the Jews were told to love their neighbor, to love one another. So to love one another is not a new thing. It's not a new commandment. The new commandment, what makes it new, is that you're to love one another as I have loved you. We're to love each other with the same kind of love that Christ loves us with. And that is that sacrificial giving love. When people see that in you, how that you give of yourself, how you sacrifice of yourself out of love for your fellow man, out of love for your fellow Christian, then they will see that you're a Christian. They will know that we are Christians by our love. People will know that we are Christians because of our love and our unity. In John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23, again, the same setting at the Last Supper with the disciples. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that thou also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." And the glory which thou gavest me I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, unity is a badge of discipleship. Our unity and our love for one another within the church is a signal to the world that we are genuine, that we are real, that we're not just all cross and no Christ Christians. We are real, the genuine deal. People will know that we are Christian because we love one another, because of our unity together. When there is disunity, when there is disharmony, when there is different doctrines and different teachings, none of that points to the unity that Christ wants, that Christ commanded. And then, of course, people will know we are Christians because of our good works. In 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12, Peter said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation." He said we're to act as strangers and pilgrims in this world. The things of this world, the fleshly lusts, we're to stay away from. We're just passing through. We don't want to linger. We don't want to stop. We don't want to get involved in those things. They war against our soul. But we're to live our life in such a way that the Gentiles, that others that are outside of Christ, can see us. That conversation honest, have a good manner of living, an honest living, honest dealings. You know, in the first century, you know, the Romans accused Christians of many terrible things. You know, they accused them of being a cult. They accused them of practicing human sacrifice and all these terrible things they accused Christians of, which were just made up nonsense. And so you imagine somebody living around in Rome and you know, here they are, they've heard all these terrible things about Christians, and then they meet a Christian, they see a Christian, and they watch that Christian, they see how they behave, they see how they act. And then they begin to understand that those stories, those bad things that are said about Christians are just false. They're not true. And then they will know what a real Christian is when they see the way you live. You know, my friends, let us be true and genuine Christians in every aspect of our lives. Let's not let our religion be an all cross and no Christ religion. Walk worthy of the name of Christ. Reflect good things upon God. You know, Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven."